He gave us specific information. The only thing is that he kept calling the building a barn. There was no barn there anymore because it was converted into a carpentry workshop, but everything else was accurate. That building belonged to one of the accused, the son. He did away with the farm, opened a carpentry workshop. Blood was found in the building indicated by Jackowski, as well as the building where we found traces of blood. Jackowski also indicated the place where the victim's head was hidden. In his opinion, we should look in the area of an old gravel pit. He even marked its location on a map. It turned out that there really was an old clay pit there. However, we never found that head. We looked where the clairvoyant said, but we did not have any additional technical equipment. We just looked around and checked out any places where the earth looked disturbed, but found nothing. Anyway, by then it was a year since the murder. But Jackowski helped us a great deal in that case. He identified the perpetrators, and thanks to him we found evidence in the form of the victim's blood. Unfortunately, the court pronounced them innocent because the evidence was insufficient, but in my opinion we found the guilty ones. I have no idea why the killing took place. We did not find the motive. And Jackowski was not just talking rubbish, he gave us very specific information. And that's how we regarded him, as an informant. When you have a problem with an investigation and data is scarce, you start an operational investigation, and that's what we did. In the investigation file there is a memo, but it does not say that we used a clairvoyant. He was regarded as an informant. The court asked me whether we had been given any information about the suspect and how did we know that there would be traces of blood at that very location. I said we established it during operational investigations. Before we decided to consult Jackowski, we obtained our superior's consent. Jackowski gives specific, concrete information that the police can use. In our case, that was a great help. That is why I cannot say, as did the police spokesperson, that information from clairvoyance is unreliable. That is rubbish. I don't have a problem with that statement, but no working police officer would tell you that. In our case, what Jackowski said was 100% true, and that is why we wrote the letter confirming his contribution. To start with, I did not believe Jackowski had special powers and that anything would come of it. But having checked it out, I can confirm that such an approach makes sense. In reports from various investigations, you will not find the word clairvoyant. If it is not officially recorded, then you can say that such a person does not in fact help the police. The only trace in the operation is the use of a certain source of information. But Jackowski has many documents confirming and thanking him for his help. Art, official letter of thanks confirming that Jackowski helped to establish the identity of the killer by indicating where the victim's blood would be found, the building and the perpetrator's clothing, which enabled the police to secure blood as evidence. From the district police headquarters in Ketsin, signed by the head of the criminal investigations section, Chief Zbinyalomeki, dated the 8th of August 2001. Case 3, Tracking the Murderer, 2000. Location, Radom, Masovian Voivodeship, East Central Poland. Summary. The letter from the police, Janusz Zka, 2014, p. 298, refers to two cases in which Jackowski made a contribution. One of them involves a brutal murder of four members of a family, Sienica, January 1996, where the version of the events provided by Jackowski was totally correct in relation to the event which took place, but unfortunately the perpetrators were never found. However, the second case is significant in highlighting Jackowski's clairvoyant tracking ability. The letter confirms that Jackowski provided the police with the precise location, the town, the street, the building and apartment, where the wanted murderer was hiding. The town was Kozelin, near the Baltic coast. The building was an old, dilapidated apartment block. To quote the relevant passage from the official letter issued by the Voivodeship Police Headquarters in Radom, dated the 28th of September 2000 and signed by the Chief Inspector, "At this point I would like to express my sincere thanks to you for indicating the precise location of a wanted dangerous criminal who was in hiding in September of last year. The information you provided, including precise identification of the street and the building, made it possible to apprehend him. When interviewed about Jackowski, Professor Izzard Jaworski, who heads the chair of criminology at the University of Wrocław, draws attention to the above document as a factual piece of evidence. Jaworski had already encountered the results of Jackowski's readings in the early 1990s, at the beginning of the latter's career, over a case that involved successful recovery of a large amount of stolen cash. Janowska, 2014, p. 124, case 4, tracking the victim, 1993. Location, Zambrow, northeastern Poland. Summary. This account is based on an interview with Andrzej Jar 1/4-1/4-eski, police superintendent in Jackowski's hometown, who in the 1990s provided the main link between Jackowski and the various police forces seeking his help, Szczesniak, 2000, pages 128-9. Police officers from Zambrow and Loma 1/4 arranged to see Jackowski to get information about the murder of the head of the local tax office. They gave him a notebook in a black cover and no other objects or information. They sat next to Jackowski, who for a long while kept moving the notebook in front of his forehead. At one point he started talking. The owner of the notebook is dead. He was murdered. He was an office worker, aged 40 plus. He was attacked in the morning in front of his garage, as soon as he opened it. Jackowski also added that after the killers left, a woman turned up, known to the victim. Police were amazed, because that was exactly what happened, including that the woman was a bookkeeper at the same tax office and usually got a lift from the victim. Jackowski also said that in the body of the victim there was an elongated piece of metal between the ribs, above the kidney. This was confirmed. The killer's knife broke and a piece stayed in the body, which was revealed by the post-mortem. The clairvoyant also described the appearance of the killers, and said there were two of them. That was all, but the police took him to the victim's grave in the hope that this might reveal more. Nothing happened, but then they took him, as an experiment, to show him the place where the crime took place. They started from the main square and Jackowski walked to the right place, into the gate between old blocks and found the right garage. It turned out that the route Jackowski took was the route usually taken by the victim. Case 5, spur of the moment suicide, 2008. Location, Lankarona, southern Poland. Summary. Jackowski was consulted by the family of a missing post office manager a few days after she suddenly disappeared. An inspector from the head office arrived unexpectedly at the post office and asked to see the accounts. The manager told him that she had left the keys to her office at home and would pop back for them, since she lived nearby. She was in her 40s, well known and liked. When she did not come back after a few hours, the police were called in, but the search was in vain. And a few days later the family contacted Jackowski and took to him her personal belongings. He felt she was dead, and saw her body in a lying position, around her neck a dark strap that seemed attached to a dead tree branch on an embankment. He drew a map that was faxed to Lankarona, and the next day she was found at that spot, where she hanged herself on the strap of her handbag that she hooked over the branch. Later it was found that some funds had been misappropriated from the post office. Jackowski felt that at the time she was very frightened yet determined, something that is likely but cannot be confirmed. However, there is a letter of confirmation of the facts from the local mayor. It expresses much admiration and gratitude for the help in finding the missing person, Lucina G. And states, "Your instructions were amazingly correct and detailed. Without them the body might not have been found, or found in some distant future. Your instructions saved the uniformed services and others who took part in the search much effort, as well as pain and uncertainty for the family of the missing woman." Case 6, a missing blind person, 1999. Location, Karlino, Western Pomerania. Summary. The police turned to Jackowski in the case of a man who went missing on the 17th of December 1998 in Karlino. Jackowski had a strange feeling that he could not see even when he focused, only had an understanding of what he should see. He sensed a narrow river, and a man walking along the bank, not noticing a root sticking out, stumbling, falling into the river and drowning. Then the body floated about 3 kilometers away and got caught on the branch leaning in. Jackowski drew a map, which enabled the police to find the body. Until he was given official confirmation, he did not know that the man who had drowned was blind. The letter from the chief of police in Carlino confirms the use of Jackowski's services, that his sketch and description of the location of the body are part of the operational records, giving their number, and adds that they successfully used a dog to investigate the area indicated on the sketch. Case 7, two bodies instead of one, 2001. Location, Zabrze, Silesia, southern Poland. Summary, a 14-year-old boy disappeared there towards the end of winter 2001, and his uncle, who lived somewhere else, came to Jackowski for help. The boy had been missing for 2 days. All Jackowski knew was the boy's name and that he went missing in Zabrze. Jackowski used a photo of the boy to focus. He felt that the boy was underwater, but not alone. There was another body next to him. He had the impression of two small ponds and the name Biskup. He looked at a map of Zabrze that showed the district of Biskupice, where there were two ponds next to each other. He marked on the map where he felt there were two bodies. A few weeks later, a police officer from Zabrze telephoned with the information that they found the missing boy's body where Jackowski said it would be, as well as the body of his friend. They probably went on to thin ice. To start with, the police ignored the information and the map because, based on other information, they assumed that the boy was alive and would return home. The body was found by a passerby, but the police honorably provided official confirmation, in the form of a letter from the police headquarters in Zabrze, of the fact that the information provided by Jackowski regarding two missing boys from Zabrze Biskupice was accurate, that he had sent them a map showing the location of the pond where the bodies were, and that was where they were found. Case 8, Missing Person, From Intuition to Calculation, 2005. Location, Jurek, Central Poland. Summary, in April 2005 the family of an elderly woman asked Jackowski to help find their relative who went missing, was diabetic and would die without medication. They supplied him with a photo and clothes, and suddenly he sensed that she was dead. She had been walking along a winding narrow river, fell in and drowned. Jackowski thought this strange because the river was as narrow as a ditch, so it seemed unlikely that she could have drowned there. He also had the feeling that he had to calculate the distance from a little concrete bridge close to the road. He drew a detailed map where he marked all these elements, the winding river and various branchings from the path along which the woman had been walking. While he was drawing, he saw next to the woman's body, close to the bank, a cement bollard. The family would not accept this version, that the old woman would have walked so far, and Jackowski himself doubted his vision. However, the decision was made to search the area he indicated, 4 kilometers from the bridge, and they did find an overturned old bollard, but no body, yet the water was too shallow for them to have missed it. But when they looked again, they found the woman's body in the water, next to the concrete bollard. Beavers had built a dam and the water rose in that particular place to about 2 meters. The police confirmed in an official letter that the body was found where the clairvoyant claimed it was, quoting the case number, while Janusz Zaleski from the regional prosecutor's office in Turek made a statement to the local newspaper, Puskla. D. Konieski, April 2005. Number 15, we used scientific methods, but we pursue all clues. We did so in this case. I have to admit I was shocked when we found the body in the precise location indicated by the clairvoyant. He drew the map of the area as if he'd been there himself. The branching of the paths, the little bridge, even this thicket. We were looking for the missing woman somewhere completely different, and if it hadn't been for this map we would not have gone there at all. Case 9, the body that wanted to be found, 2007. Location, Wegorzewo, Mazuria, northeastern Poland. Summary: 19 people drowned when a sudden, powerful storm hit the lake district where people were sailing. All the bodies were located except that of Joseph Lipener. His son, who had been in the boat with his father but survived, was determined to find his father's body, and took his father's recently worn clothes and a photograph to Jackowski. According to Jackowski's account, he felt strange, as if there were someone with him in the room. He took a shirt out of the bag with the clothing and put it on, as if something had made him do it. He looked in the mirror, held the other clothing and suddenly knew where the body was, which enabled him to draw a map with lots of details. The police thought it was unlikely that the body was at the location drawn by Jackowski, since it was 4 kilometers from where the man had drowned. However, they checked it out anyway and found the man's body. The events are confirmed by a number of documents. There is a letter from the regional police headquarters, dated the 10th of October 2007, thanking Jackowski for his help in finding the body of Joseph L., the last one to be found of the victims of the deadly squall that hit the Mazurian lakes on the 21st of August 2007. It enabled the police to end the search, which had gone on continuously using much manpower and equipment, and allowed the family closure. There is a letter dated the 1st of October 2007 from the mayor of Rudoazla, Ska, thanking him for his invaluable help in finding the body. And most touchingly, there is a letter from the family, worth quoting at length: "We turned to you on the 29th of September 2007 to ask for help in finding the body of the late Joseph L., who was lost during the squall in Mazuria on the 21st of August 2007. Nearly 6 weeks had passed from that accident, with firemen, police, volunteer water rescue service and divers searching the lake and the surrounding area where the tragedy took place, unfortunately without success. Eventually the search was limited to twice daily patrols on the lake, and we did not know what else to do. In pain and desperation we went to you, and you did not refuse, even though you were not well, flu. You gave us a map which next day, in Mazuria, turned out to be invaluable, bolded in the original text. This map showed the shore of the lake with a cross marking the location of the body, immobilized, in an enormous reed bed. We listened with great care to everything you said so as to pass the exact information to the police. On 30 September I went with the police and others in motorboats onto the lake Labap. About 11:30 the firemen, the police, the volunteers and I myself, we all went into the reed bed to search the area you indicated. About 14:45 one of the policemen and a fireman found the body, exactly at the location you marked. Thank you for your help from the bottom of our hearts. There are no words to express what we feel. Thanks to you we found our beloved father, uncle and friend. That was a profound experience for us, that had a spiritual dimension. Thanks to you the body was recovered and we could arrange for a proper burial, which took place on the 5th of October 2007 at the Church of Mary Mother of God in Rudoazla, Ska. We shall think of you every time we visit Joseph's grave. With best wishes for you and your family, we owe you a great debt of gratitude. Signed by family members. Case 10, Intervention by Murder Victim. The case of Sylvia filmed by TV crew. Jackowski did not think that the dead spoke to him when he started out as a clairvoyant. He thought he was just getting mental impressions of the past, but since then he has changed his mind, and the main case which caused him to do so took place in 2003. It involved an attractive young woman, aged around 30, called Sylvia. Sylvia disappeared without a trace a year earlier from Czstochowa, a city in southern Poland. The following account is taken from Jackowski's autobiography, giving his impressions: "I approached this reading like many others. I received a blouse of the missing person and a photograph showing an attractive 30-year-old woman with dark hair and beautiful eyes. I only knew that her name was Sylvia, that she was 30 years old, and that she disappeared a year earlier in Czstochowa. The situation was not typical, because I was to carry out the reading facing a camera placed before me. The reason was simple: they were making a series about me called Experiment, Clairvoyant, Bolsat, 7th episode, with myself in the main role. This case was brought to me by the producers of the program, who were asked to do so by the police from Kstvika. I sat there, stared at the picture, smelled the blouse. After a short time I sensed something. The woman lives alone but she has a daughter, I said tentatively. She liked a freewheeling life. She was very scared of the man she did not live with but they were linked by some secret. I increasingly got the feel of her. That is always the case in clairvoyance, the longer you keep reading, the more you sense the inner person, the personality. Sylvia's inner person was making me quite uneasy. The girl is cunning. She is blackmailing someone. She knows about Simeon's death. She knows something about a murder. My anxiety kept growing. She knows about Simeon's death. It is a killing. I repeated. She is dead. She was murdered. She was murdered by two men she knew. She was in this detached house. To the side was a garden, an orchard. She quarreled with these men. She wanted something from them. She was murdered in that house. She was strangled. After she was strangled, she was dragged to the garage and the whole body was wrapped in plastic sheeting. I suddenly stopped the reading, thinking that the story is too sensational, that perhaps it is not what I am seeing but my imagination at work. Apart from the camera facing me in the room there were Anya Janice, the director of the series, and Paul Kaspczak, cameraman and sound mixer all in one. I looked at them uncertainly, as if to ask if what I said made sense, but they only looked at me blankly. After a while I looked at the photo again. Yes, yes, she was murdered, I said, but with less conviction. But it is strange, where her body is. There is another body there, only I don't know if it is a woman or a man, but not in that house. It is somewhere outside. It is some sort of dumping area. As we are. Tkowska and Jackowski, 2012, Volume I, pp. 12-17. The director told him that his story was better than any of Hitchcock's but was unlikely to make sense. They had little information from the police but whatever they knew pointed to the woman being alive and having gone abroad with a German boyfriend, that she really had a little daughter that she left with her mother. When the police officers gave things to the crew they only said that since the divorce she has had a number of rich men friends and led a dissolute life. Jackowski was cross with himself that evening. Why did he come up with that nonsense? At 5 p.m. the next day he went back to the hotel to face the camera, with Anya and Paul. Anya told him they would not continue with Sylvia's case and it would not be included in the series because of his obvious mistake. She then gave him a photo and an object belonging to a young man, the next case. He tried to concentrate but was getting nowhere. All the time he had Sylvia on his mind and the question, why did I make a mistake? Why did I feel it so strongly? He decided to go back to Sylvia's case and had an argument with the director who did not want to waste time on material that would not be included in the series. But he insisted, spent some 15 minutes staring at the photo, felt her cunning, her free and easy attitude again but could not say anything. Then suddenly he heard two sentences and said them aloud to the camera, I was brought up by Granny Freddy. Feminine form in Polish, I lived through Bogdan's death. He was told off for wasting time and got on with another case. But later, when the crew returned Sylvia's things to her mother, who also did not believe Sylvia was dead but wanted to see the recording, they learned that the two items of information were true. As a child Sylvia had spent a great deal of time with her granny whose name was Freddy, Fredzia, and with her father, Bogdan, who was divorced from her mother and with whom Sylvia kept in touch, and had died 2 years before her disappearance. A month later the TV people got in touch again and told him that Sylvia had been murdered. The police, while investigating a different case, that of a missing man, found two suspects who admitted to the murder and to getting rid of the body. Sylvia was the wife of one of the suspects. She knew about the murder of the other man, tried to blackmail her husband and ended up wrapped in plastic foil as well. What stunned Jackowski were the two sentences that he said to the camera, the two details that related to Sylvia, that proof of identity of the victim, rather than details about her death. As he put it, this was not a dead memory, this was in a here and now. We will look at the implications of this case in a wider context later, but the main problem it poses for the materialist worldview is pinpointed by the operational officer in charge of the case. Interview with the operational officer by Igor T. Myesik. Newsweek, the 19th of August 2009. The case of a missing person that I was in charge of interested the makers of the TV series Experiment, Clairvoyant, with Jackowski as its chief character. We were looking for the missing Sylvia as she supported herself with casual jobs and, to put it politely, she was not averse to male company. She would often travel abroad to work. We hypothesized that she went to Germany with one of her lovers. The program makers let us have a cassette with the recording of Jackowski's vision. 2 months later, colleagues from Chstoku, working on a totally different case, arrested Sylvia's murderers, her ex-husband and his brother. They did kill her, because she knew about a murder they had committed earlier. Bodies of the two victims were found in the same place, a rubbish tip in Brzezinie. Sylvia's body was wrapped in foil. The officer adds, Jackowski claimed that he was transmitting what Sylvia said, I was brought up by Granny Freddy, I lived through Bogdan's death. Just so that we're clear. He claimed that he had been spoken to by a person from beyond the grave. The body was supposed to provide facts unconnected with the investigation so as to improve its credibility in the eyes of the living. I'm sorry, for me that's just too much. But the information about Freddy and Bogdan was true, it was confirmed later by Sylvia's mother. Some other confirmed cases. There are many more well-documented cases where Jackowski provided vital details that helped the police to establish the circumstances of a person's disappearance, find perpetrators and discover motivations, from the 1990s until the present day. In one case, a group of 5 young people, 3 of them teenage girls who left home saying they were going for a pizza, did not return. Both the families and the police were convinced that they had run off as rebellious teenagers sometimes do, but, as the search kept coming up with dead ends, one of the mothers approached Jackowski. After holding the photos of the girls, the clairvoyant felt that they were dead, and that the boy who drove the car chose a less frequented route so as to avoid being stopped by the police, and the car ended up in the river. The police initially did not want to follow this unexpected lead, but, after the chair of the local council intervened, a sonar was employed at that spot and showed a large object at the bottom of the river. That was the car, and the bodies of 5 young people were in it. In a letter of thanks to all involved in the search, the chair of the local council also thanks Krzysztof Jackowski for providing the map, which largely contributed to finding the missing people, Janoszka, unpublished documentation, Triaza, 2017. In his autobiography, Jackowski reports a case that did not involve working with the police but perhaps goes further than most in its lack of glamour and sophistication in much of his clairvoyance work. On this occasion, in February 2007, Jackowski was asked to locate the missing village elder from a village in Mazovia. Since his first vision was vague, apart from the feeling that the man was dead, and a search of the general area he indicated did not produce results, he was asked to visit it himself. He spent the day searching the forest with the others, following various clues provided by the locals, and by the afternoon felt totally discouraged and embarrassed, until a friend reminded him that running around and searching was not what he would normally do. So he sat down in the missing man's room, picked up a shoe, and then got the message, "Look for me next to the potato stack." The family told him that potatoes were kept in the barn, they all rushed out there, and when they disturbed a thick haystack next to the potatoes, they disturbed the body and were nearly overcome with the odor of decomposition. The man's widow started cursing someone, and it emerged that she blamed their neighbor, an alcoholic, who organized secret drinking sessions even though he knew the husband had health problems and was not allowed to drink alcohol. It was in fact the neighbor who hid the body after the man collapsed, as was later established by the police investigation, as we are. Kowska and Jackowski, 2012, Volume 2, pp. 13-15.